Welcome to the conference call of Elemio SE for the release of the Q1 2018 financial. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. May I now hand you over to Mr. Boyer, the moderator.
Good morning, and thank you very much for joining us for our conference call for the release of the numbers of the first quarter in 2018. I would suggest to go straight into the numbers that we have put together on page 3. We have summarized the key performance indicators of our quarter and also some non-financial highlights of the first quarter that I would like to guide you through in the next coming minutes. As you can see, the continued operations of Elemio, so all of the businesses that we continue operate without the operations in the United Kingdom that have been closed in the fourth quarter of 2017, have grown by 12.9%, which is a growth figure that has left us with a very good impression for the upcoming quarters and also for our future, because in particular, in 2016, when we were facing problems to grow in our core businesses after the increase of our factory cost, we have now basically put the majority of our operations back on track and see a good growth path. You can also see that in the EBITDA and the segment EBITDA, we have been able to grow our figures a little bit better even than the revenues, with a decrease in the losses of the first quarter or an increase of the performance. Another important figure to point out is that the number of active customers at the very bottom has risen by 15.6%, so a little bit better than the revenues. So it is not that we have been selling more product to the same amount of customers, but we have also been able in the first quarter to expand our customer base. On top of that, I would like to show you some projects that we have completed in the first quarter in our e-commerce and mobile business. I would like to guide you through our continued efforts to reduce operational cost, and also I would like to give you a quick update on what happens in our business-to-business front. E-commerce, as has been our core strategy since 2013, continues to raise its share of our total revenues. As you can see, in the first quarter of 2018, we are starting to approach the 15% mark, 50% mark of the revenues. So sometime during this year, or maybe in early beginning of next year, the share of our e-commerce business will most likely surpass the share of our classic television business. In the past, many times, as I may add as a little kind of with a little twinkle, in the past we have been called a television station with a web shop. Sometime in the end of 2018 or in the beginning of 2019, when our e-commerce business is going to be bigger than the television business, we're probably going to be a website with a television station. As you can see on the following page, within our e-commerce business, mobile continues to add revenue and also continues to gain share and importance in our business. That reflects basically a general trend in e-commerce, which is a increased share of mobile usage in order to buy any kind of products online. The classic webshop is a business that in the first quarter has stayed stable only towards the first quarter of 2017. That was an effect that we were expecting. That is a phenomenon that many e-commerce companies see, that when they fully relaunch their e-commerce operations, that in the first quarter after relaunching, revenues tend to be stable because customers need to accommodate a little bit to the changed design and also to the changed filter functions. And we expect to see our classic webshop to go back on a growth path in the second quarter of 2018. As I have said, we have fully relaunched our website, both in terms of functionalities, but also in terms of design. We gave it a much more feminine look, also a lighter design with much lighter colors. And we have started to introduce all of our collections with separate subsegments in our website. So as you can see here, the Amiani collection, the Marina di Luca collection, and the Lance Fischer collection now have their own web presence, and this gives the customer more of a guidance towards what kind of jewelry they're really looking for. On top of this, we have worked on a rather large number of details on our website. As our CFO always points out, retail is detail, and that I think in particular applies to e-commerce. We have much enhanced our filter functions. We have added a lot of filters that our customers have kind of have given our customers the ability to filter through our product range in a much more convenient way. We have introduced a full new search function, which is much more dynamic, which starts to implement some artificial intelligence components, giving better product recommendations, and product recommendations is also something that we will continue to work on throughout 2018, so to give our customers, based on their previous shopping behavior, much better product recommendations, and also a product preview, so when you start to add something that you search, we already make recommendations of what that might be. At the same time, we have introduced a fully new photo process. All of our products are being photographed in Thailand prior to being shipped to Europe, both in a static picture and also in a 360-degree video. We have purchased new equipment and also redesigned the entire process in which we make the picture of the individual jewelry. And as you can see on the bottom right corner, this has much enhanced the quality of the picture. This might sound trivial to you, but the cost of taking a picture is a significant cost, and that is something that has to be managed very carefully in order to make sure that we get the maximum picture quality out of the amount of money that we invest in this process. And this is something that we have happily been able to do without adding additional cost to our picture process, just by investing into better education of our employees and also by investing some fixed cost into the equipment we use. At the same time, we have fully relaunched our app. We have also introduced the collections to the app. We will in Q2 also make a much easier login process to the app so that the connection between the app and our static webshop will be better. We have removed some not as useful data components as we thought these data components would be, which has increased the speed of our app dramatically, and overall the usability of our app has been increased. So a lot of small projects that in total add up to a much better usability across all our web shop and e-commerce activities, and we expect to see a much better contribution of these businesses and an increasing contribution of these businesses over the remainder of 2018. At the same time, we have continued to develop our branded collections better. As you can see, kind of May 2018, we have started to launch the new De Melo collection. In April, we have launched the Monozono collection, which was an enhanced version of our basic collection that we have launched in 2016. Both of these two collections have seen great results and great acceptance by our customers. And then in the second quarter of 2018, we will also fully roll out the new Marina di Luca collection, which is a pearl and bead-based collection, which is a range of jewelry that has seen in the past great demand from our customers. As you can see, we keep monitoring the performance of these collections also against the rest of our product ranges, and you can see that these collections continue to deliver superior results to our airtime, which is the main constraint when selling products. So we continue to see that this is a good path. You can see that in the first quarter, the share of the collections has gone down a little bit, which is mainly due to the fact that we have had a big sale in the first quarter, and that sale generated a rather large revenue figure. During our sale, we tend to be very conservative with branded products in order to make sure that we don't destroy the perceived value proposition of these products. In the first quarter, we have continued to be extremely cost-focused. As you can see, we have been able to lower our broadcasting cost and keep our personnel expenses roughly stable. Only our sales and marketing expenses have risen. This is something that will be something we will continue to monitor very closely. I may add that in 2018 we have started to broadcast our program via classic television in the regions of Germany that are being covered by Unity Media, so North Rhine-Westphalia, Hessonia, and Baden-Württemberg, also in HD, which is something that is going to improve the visibility of our program dramatically, because this has an EPG channelist position that is roughly 150 programs lower than if we would continue only in SD, and that is going to result in the fact that in Q2 and Q3 it will most likely be a great accomplishment to keep the broadcasting and channel rental costs stable at this level and not see them rise, because broadcasting our program in HD adds a cost to the broadcasting cost. And then towards the end of this year, when in all of the other territories in Germany, Vodafone Kabel Deutschland will have completed the switch off of analog cable and will go fully digital, which is a great advantage for us, because the only federal state where we are present in analog television is Berlin. In all of the other federal states that are being covered by Vodafone Kabel Deutschland, we're only present in digital cable. So when the analog cable will be switched off, our customers will only have digital cable, and this will greatly increase our viewership potential. The business-to-business unit has continued to grow dramatically, as you can see, from the first quarter of 2017 to the first quarter of 2018. These numbers have doubled. I might add a word of caution towards the rest of the year. This is not going to continue doubling towards the previous quarters, because, as you may recall from the last year, kind of in the fourth quarter of 2017, we've seen very significant numbers from our business-to-business unit, and I would be very happy if we were able to double the figure in the fourth quarter of 2018 again. But at the moment, this would seem to me as a rather ambitious goal. So I would now like to hand over to Bernd Fischer to guide you through the financials.
Also, a very good morning from my side. Being on page 15 now of our presentation, with a quick summary of the Q1 2018 results, we see an overall growth in revenues in basically all areas. Germany, Italy, as well the B2B, just mentioned by Wolfgang. At the same time, with a lower margin towards the previous quarter. Now on page 16, having the revenues, gross profit, and segment EBITDA margin as a development against the prior year. And I may add a couple of words or details to the gross margin development. In total and absolute numbers has grown by 1.9%, At the same time, percentage-wise, the gross margin decreased from 43 to 39. Looking at the report where we show the gross margins for TV, e-commerce, and B2B, you clearly can see that the decrease for the TV business is rather low, from 44 to 42, so more or less on a prior year level, whereas the e-commerce business and the B2B business was facing a rather high decrease in gross margins. The reason is quite simple, that we did some further sales activities in our B2B business in the US, similar to what we do also in Europe in the first quarter, as well as the relaunch of the web shop that Wolfgang explained before, was accompanied by, of course, some sales activities that resulted in lower margins overall for the webshop business. On page 17 and 18, we see some selected key data that you also find in the quarterly release. And maybe to get your attention to one or two details, on page 17, the product revenue split by TV revenue, e-commerce, and B2B, as mentioned before. We see a very slight decrease in TV revenues from 9.2 to 9 million, which from our perspective is a very positive result, while at the same time the e-commerce business has grown by, again, 27.5%. And so that looking at the last couple of years, the e-commerce business in average has grown significantly double-digit in total. For the CD selected key data on page 18, maybe to have a quick view on the average sales price that has slightly risen from 70 per piece to 72 euro per piece. And at the same time, of course, following the overall gross margin percentage-wise, the gross profit item slightly decreased, as mentioned, mainly due to the development in the B2B and e-commerce section. The new customers breakdown for Germany, web-only is still stable at around 60%. So 60% of our new customers approaching us via the web, while classic TV customers approaching us in the classic way via telephone continue to decrease from 30 to 25. Others are customers who approach us not clearly dividable between TV and web. For the group segment reporting on page 19, of course, we see the improvement in the segment EBITDA by around 26% from 1.2 million in Q1 2017 to below 1 million in the first quarter of 2018. Just to give you that idea of the development of closing the our business in the UK, I add the segment report from last year, from the first quarter 2017 for Sales Division Others, where we closed the first quarter in 2017 with a loss of 816, and now the revised numbers for 2017 without the UK showing now a positive result of 8,000 euros compared. So that the majority of the losses also in 2017 came from the UK. So to close the presentation for today's Q1 release of the financials, heading to the outlook on page 21, our expectation is to further develop the positive results we've seen in the first quarter and of course also during the last quarters of 2017. To follow that road on a steady basis. As so far, we also further expect growth in the existing markets and a low single-digit million total segment EBITDA for the total year 2018. As mentioned, we relaunched the web shops in 2018 in the first quarter and clearly expect positive impacts in the following quarters. And also for the B2B business, unfortunately not the doubling the results and the revenues we achieved in 2017, but on an overall basis for 2018, we also expect to have a growth in the B2B business as well. So this was the presentation for the Q1 release, and we may now open the lines for potential questions, and I would like to hand over to our operator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchdown telephone. I will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star 2. Please press star 1 now for your questions. Thank you. Okay, so the first question we got is coming from Mr. Volker Busse from Baader Bank. Mr. Busse, please.
Yeah, Volker Busse, Baader Bank. I have several questions. First, starting with your sales guidance, your guide for a slight sales growth. Could you guide us through the momentum of Q2 to Q4 potentially, as it looks a bit cautious to me, slight sales growth if we see TV stable, B2B to grow, e-com to grow double digit. What am I missing, or is it fair to say it's a conservative approach looking into the year? And the second question would be regarding your EBITDA guidance, also here to achieve a positive segment EBITDA for the full year. What kind of underlying deteriorating cost components we have to put in the assumption? I mean, I think gross margin should improve, as you also guided, perhaps. So what's the driver here, and what kind of underlying cost components are going to continue to decline to see the swing in Q4 and from Q2 to Q4, so for the rest of the year? And a third question would be regarding your TV segment. You showed us a 1.7% decline in TV. Which country generated TV decline? So what was the TV decline in Italy or in Germany? Where does the TV decline comes from, so to say? And finally, on the gross margin, also in the TV segment, also here gross margin declined from 44 to 42.7, so by 130 basis points. I would have expected that TV margin should increase given the increasing share of branded collections, which should have had a positive impact to my understanding. So perhaps a bit of clarity why gross margin in the TV segment is down, although the branded good sales share has increased. Thanks.
Okay. I hope we will not miss one of your questions. Maybe start with the first one. Sales guidance Q1 to Q4. Yes, we said a slight sales growth, which will be rather single digit. The first quarter was a sales-wise a rather successful, but also more aggressive first quarter 2018, which is also reflected in the percentage margin. So for the remaining quarters, we expect to raise our margins overall percentage-wise. At the same time, we don't think that we are able to raise margins while at the same time have a growth, a double-digit growth in terms of sales. This will be rather over-optimistic, let's say that way, from us to expect that. But to achieve, let's say, sustainable profitability, the first goal we need to hit is to increase our percentage margins for our products.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, the expectation is to step forward, as said, on a steady basis. So given the first quarter, we expect the following quarters to be improved step by step, maybe a little bit different than the previous year, because when we look at the results of 2017 from the first to the last quarter, and take into consideration the results of the segment sales division others, which is in its majority driven by the results from the UK. We see a first positive result for the Q2, a higher positive result for Q3, and a little bit lower for Q4. That in total we expect to be slightly different to develop in 2018. That we think also in terms of margins that the last quarter will be the strongest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
As for your television question and the question why a slight decrease, as we pointed out over the last couple of years, our focus is to put our group into a position where we are well placed for the change in viewing habits that happen in the consumption of media.
Mm-hmm.
The media world is moving from a linear television to a non-linear television. This move is not a drastic and extremely fast move, but rather a slow move that is going to take, even from now, probably 10 years to complete. And throughout that time, we expect to move our business along with this. So we are not making significant investments into additional television growth. We'd rather take the positive margins that we generate in our television business and invest them into continued e-commerce activities. The slight decrease that you see overall, which is a number that we haven't fully disclosed, but kind of if you look at our strategy over the last couple of quarters, you can deduct that anyway, comes a little bit more from Germany. In Italy, our television business has been growing a little bit more, which also reflects the fact that Italy is lagging behind in this change in viewing habits. So television and all distance selling activities in Italy still plays a more important role than it plays in Germany, and therefore in Italy TV sales have been growing slightly, and in Germany they have been stable or declining.
Okay, thank you.
May I ask whether we have answered all of the questions, because the list was rather long?
Final one, why TV margin declined, also the number of branded collections have increased? I would have expected.
Correct. If you look at the share of branded collections in the first quarter and in the last quarter of 2017, you see that in the first quarter the share of branded collections overall was lower, which is mainly due to the fact that we in the first quarter usually have the biggest inventory cleaning activities throughout the year, and any kind of inventory cleaning always results.
Yeah.
In a situation where we generate less overall margins.
Mm. Yeah, thank you very much. All questions answered. Thanks, and good luck for the rest of the year. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, next question is from Mark Josef von Equinet. May we have your question, please?
Yes, good morning. My first question you've largely answered with your response to Volker just then, but in terms of the German business, 9% sales growth against the strongest quarter in 2017 is a pretty good performance. I wanted a bit more background. And obviously, you've spoke about the inventory clean out and that's why the margins are a bit lower, but how much of the sales were promotional compared to non-promotional in the quarter, and is that non-typical or was that pretty typical for that period? Secondly, with respect to D'Amelio and the Montorno collections, how do these margins compare with your other branded goods, and what has been the first response to those? And then I have a question with respect to the UK operations. From today's perspective, how long do we think they will continue to burden the net group results? Can you just bring us up to date with events there, please?
Okay, I would answer the last two questions first, and then I'll try to summarize, because the connection is not terribly good, what we think the result, the essence of the first question was. As for the Monozono and D'Amelio collections, these two collections produce very high margins. At the same time, they are both targeted not for the mass market, but they both cover a niche in the market. So total share of airtime of both of these collections is in the single percentage digit area. We will try to increase the share of these collections, obviously. But this is a process that has to be managed very carefully. So we cannot, for example, the Monozono collection, we cannot just kind of increase its share from 1% to 10% just like that. This has to be managed carefully, but both of these collections range at the upper end of the margins we generate, both in terms of profit per minute, but also in terms of percentage margins. The UK operations will most likely not have a negative impact on any performance number in 2018 in total. We have disclosed in the quarterly release that we are making good progress in the sale of all of the assets, and we assume that the net result of the sale of all assets, as opposed to any continued negative impact on our group figures, is going to be positive, or at least not negative. So there will be a positive outcome to that, so there will be no burdening. We will continue to broadcast our UVLO program in the UK via satellite, sometimes translated and sometimes not translated, but the overall cost of that broadcasting is very low, and it's already now generating a positive contribution to the German business, because the amount of remaining customers in the UK that, even though they watch a German language program, continue to buy the product is big enough in order to cover this cost. Could you try to repeat the first question once more, because the connection at that time was really bad and I'm not so sure whether we have really grasped the essence of the question.
It was indeed. I was pleasantly surprised by a 9% improvement in German sales, and especially when I think back to some comments you made on the publication of the 2017 results. I thought that the quarter started a little bit more slower than that. And partly you've said the good performance in Germany is due to discounting, and I would have thought that the discounting would have been in January and February rather than March. It seems that you had a stronger end to the quarter. I just wondered if that was the case or not.
Yes, clearly. The same picture as also in the previous years. So Jan-Feb is rather low margin. March is depending on the activities we have in average a more successful month, especially for this year. For instance, we had a Cat Florence show that has driven also the absolute margins quite nicely, which always works quite nice if we have that kind of shows not on air for quite a time. I think the last one was in December, so we haven't had any shows of that style for more than 2 months. That has always a significant impact. So yes, you're right. The decline in margin is rather resulting from the first 2 months of the quarter than from the third month.
Okay. I have two smaller questions with respect to the cost base. I mean, you commented on the higher marketing costs in Q1. I think right now marketing is at a 4% level. Is that the run rate going forward? It depends a little bit on the sales mix, I guess, but is that the right sort of ballpark 4% of sales for sales and marketing costs? And also within selling expenses, there was this rebate from a service provider. Was that a one-off just in Q1, and how significant is that? Or rather, what is the annual run rate for broadcasting costs on an annualized basis?
Okay. Maybe the question regarding the starting with the rebate. Yes, that was a one-off, which we were able to negotiate with the service partners. So a process that we're basically doing frequently. We see also some opportunities going ahead to renegotiate existing contracts due to the changing landscape of TV broadcasting. At the same time, as Wolfgang mentioned previously, that the change from analog to digital signal is changing at the same time, gives us the opportunity to reach more households. But for the price of high-quality signal versus an NSD signal, which then raises the cost again. So that will something we need to try to balance. You have also to be reminded that during the development in 2017, during the quarters in terms of TV broadcast costs, was also declining. So the first quarter 2017 was compared to the rest of the year higher than the rest. So which gives us a rather high spread for the first quarter.
Yep.
In terms of cost.
So and the other question was regarding marketing costs and whether this is kind of most likely going to be run rate. I think we have no imminent plans to increase or decrease our sales and marketing costs in particular, which is kind of predominantly our marketing expense in e-commerce. So for the time being, I think this is a good prediction for the run rate of these costs.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Mr. Philipp Frey from Warburg Research, may we have your question, please?
Hello, gentlemen. Just three smaller questions. First of all, you mentioned the change of your photographic process. Did you previously photograph your merchandise in Germany, actually, or how big is this this change in terms of cost savings potential? Secondly, a bit on the working capital side. What's your expectation regarding inventory increase, or probably I should rather ask you how much are you intending to purchase in the remainder of the year? Should we see a significant improvement here in the course of the year? And lastly, a bit of update on your input costs regarding gross margin. Obviously, the Thai baht has again strengthened a bit. Do you see? Well, it's certainly not that much. But how relaxed are you in general regarding input, but particularly regarding the components which we can't observe, like jewelry or gemstone prices?
Okay, I would like to give some comment on question number one and question number three, and then Bernd will maybe be able to give some background on question number two. The pictures have always been taken in Thailand. It might sound trivial, but actually it's completely not trivial. We absolutely need a picture for many reasons, to begin with, in order to be able to sell it on our webshop, but also for our product planning processes. The cost of our picture, like the cost of an individual picture ranges in the area between €1 and €1.50 per taken picture. That is a figure that is, if you compare it to the industry, enormously low. Usually product pictures are being calculated in the area between €3 and €5. And the €1.50 is an important information, because if we have a line that will produce of 10 pieces, then this already translates into 15 cents for the picture only. So this is a cost that has to be monitored very carefully, and therefore all changes that we do in the picture process are always changes that we do with an enormous focus on maintaining the cost where it is, while at the same time increasing the quality. I say this because many times I've seen kind of comments where I see very particularly individual pictures of jewelry, and saying, people say, okay, why don't you produce a picture like that? This would sell better in your webshop. And I always say, yes, fine, but if I have to pay €10 for making this individual picture, then there has to be a justification for this cost in terms of margin, and typically the customer is not willing to pay that much of a premium for the price of the product if the picture is this much better. The third question was
the
Euro-Thai baht development is a development that has been a pretty much of a nuisance ever since 2015. As we have already shown in our numbers for the full year of 2017, the Thai baht continues to be a big threat in a big problem in the overall product cost. We have kind of answered the continued problem that we have there in a full efficiency and operational cost lowering project that we are currently doing in our factory. And we expect this project to continue all throughout 2018, with the objective of very significantly lowering the cost per piece, because apart from the fact that we have been able to raise our margins due to increased perception of value by introducing these brands, we still have a long way to go to reduce the operational cost per piece back to prior 2015 levels. And this will be a very big focus of our management and of our entire group all throughout 2018.
Okay. So regarding your question for the development of inventories, that increased in the first quarter, the fact that we had a production on the level of the last quarter 2017, we expect those to go down. At least we said significantly. What that means exactly, we haven't disclosed, but I think surely one would expect to end up with a number of below 30 million by end of this year. When you look in a more detail of the development of inventories, you can see that the increase was rather on the level of finished goods than for raw materials. So in terms of raw materials, we're on a level which is rather low, can be further tweaked. But at least, of course, we need a kind of, you know, basic level of raw materials to operate with. So at that level of inventories we now have, facing the single-digit sales expectations we have given, the capacity of the factory will be lowered for the remainder of this year. And that is why we continuously will sell more than we produce. But this will be also a part of what Wolfgang just mentioned, to work on the optimization of production processes and making sure that the overall cost of productions is still in a good shape, and that we make up the gaps of inflation, for instance, in Thailand, to make sure to remain there on a competitive level in terms of production of our jewelry.
Sounds good. And probably lastly, on gemstone prices, the recently some emerging market currencies have been quite weak. Is that something which is advantageous for you, or any particular interesting trends there?
In general, this is an advantage. This is met at the same time by a continued increase in demand for colored gemstones, in particular from China, which is continue to grow as one of or the biggest colored gemstone markets in the world, which is why producers in mines have been able to raise prices. So that has compensated this to a certain degree. And then since the majority of gemstones are being cut in Thailand, this cost is not being affected by a decrease in the currency of a mine or a country that houses a mine, because the vast majority of our gemstones come either from Africa or from South America, and both of these territories don't have very big cutting operations, so unfortunately this doesn't help us too much.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Okay, so are there further questions?
For further questions, please press star 1 again. Thank you. Seems to be no further questions at this time.
Okay. So, Bernd and I would like to thank all of the participants for participating in this call, and we look forward to hearing you again in the release of the Q2 numbers.
Thank you very much.
We want to thank Mr. Boyer and all the participants of this conference. Have a nice day. Goodbye. Yeah.